I had the best results of my life with this new multivitamin I've been trying.
Your approach, it's just, guys, if you haven't watched Kenny, he's one of the most entertaining guys that I've ever watched. You research before you do things, and you don't make claims that you don't know shit about.
Always told every brand that I've ever worked with, if I don't believe in it, like, I'm going to speak my truth on it, even if the flavor profiles. If it tastes like complete and utter garbage and shit, I'm going to tell my fans.
Credibility is everything to us. When you wake up in the morning, do you give a shit what somebody commented on you on YouTube? Somebody that's
right.
In mom's basement. I mean, I don't. There's a lot of people on there that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. They just don't.
Ultimately, I just want to do content stuff that I enjoy and I know I can enjoy doing.
This is my first guest, and I wanted to bring an absolute banger on my first guest. So I really had to dig deep here to get the very best I could find. And welcome, Kenny KO.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, man. Also, yeah. I want to start, by the way, you were one of the first people I actually started to watch on YouTube, because you were one of the first open, transparent people talking about, obviously, a lot of the stuff that I talk about with my fan base. So there weren't many people, especially back in the early YouTube days, talking about, you know, the SARMs, the compounds, dosages, experience, what to do, what not to do. So a lot of my early knowledge actually came from this guy right over here.
Man. That's humbling, and it's very, very appreciated. And, you know, it's hard because when you got an audience and you got followers, a lot of people don't say anything. People that I watch don't know I'm watching them. I'm sure there's a lot of people that are, you know, big time that watch you that you wouldn't have any clue. So it's flattering, bro. It really is, because, I mean, you're on an elite level that I would love to be at, you know, but it's no, flattering.
You're past me.
Man, so I kind of want to get into some things about you, brother, kind of let the audience know what you're all about. I'm sure many, many of the people that follow me, I'm sure they watch you, but just in case they don't, and just for people that are coming in new. So, guys, if you're not familiar, Kenny's got a massive channel. He's got a ton of followers. He's getting up to that million range. He's got tons of followers on Instagram, social media. He does it all. He's one of the most entertaining guys that I've ever watched. And so I kind of was curious, you know, what got you started? What got you interested in all this? And then also the direction of your channel, because, I mean, so many people could never pull off what you pull off. So I'm kind of curious as to what made you go that route too, and what gave you the balls to do that on top of it. So,
yeah. Damn, there's so much to cover. So let's see. So I started out actually firefighting, and then I had a sports background. So that's kind of how I got into the fitness scene and lifting and whatnot. And then especially back around that time frame, because I graduated high school in 2011, there wasn't a lot of people creating YouTube content. The only things that were kind of around was honestly like your content. I think you might have been uploading around that time, because that was when I first started competing. That was when I was learning about all these compounds and whatnot. But unless you went on community forums and stuff, not a lot of people was making YouTube content. I think it was like you, Boston Lloyd was one of the first like open, transparent people, like a very small group. And then obviously like Rich Piana, and I'm pretty sure you were even before Rich Piana. So you were a lot of like my staple into seeing what actually goes on behind the scenes, because there were so many people juicing, doing all this crazy stuff, but no one was talking about it. So I saw that there was this niche of people that just wanted the transparent truth, you know, just the unfiltered, know what everyone's doing, what dosages, like don't care about the ramifications of what people think of you doing this, this and that, but just be like honest. That's essentially what the channel was driven around. And whether that was taking compounds, Photoshop, fake weights at that time, which I think some people even still use fake weights, and people definitely still Photoshop, and people are definitely still fake natties. So I think those are just forever and definitely in time going to be topics that could always be talked about, because no one's going to forever be just open, transparent. There's always going to be like the liars and the people trying to deceive people and whatnot. So I just noticed that there was a niche that hadn't been filled, and want to be kind of the first guy at expos and in person to call these people out on what they were claiming. And then obviously notice like some videos pop off, do really well. And just, I guess, the business mindset in me saw that more people wanted to see that like style of content. And I enjoyed doing it because I just wanted people to know the truth. So that was how it like kind of transpired into what it currently is.
It's awesome. You brought up the fake weights. Last night I was watching the video you did on the girl with all the weights that she was holding, and I fucking cringed. Like I couldn't even barely watch it because she had collapsed with the 900 pounds of weights and you had brought in your own weight. Oh my gosh. Things like that. And I watched you, like I said, when I really, because I've watched you for a long time, but when I started watching you consistently was, you know, when you did the Liver King, which was, I mean, he's an easy target, but it was just awesome the way that you did it and your approach. It's just, guys, if you haven't watched Kenny, the way that he approaches people, and you do it with such class, you really do, because you could be a certain way. You really could. And the way that you handle it, it's like, you know how in kind of today's society, if you make too much sense, people don't like it. Well, you're kind of like that. You make too much sense. You handle things in the right way. And it's just nice to watch that too. I know some people don't look at things like that. They look at the entertainment. I look at the person, the personality, and I can tell you were brought up well. You got a lot of class. You research before you do things, and you don't make claims that you don't know shit about. And I personally, I love that about you. I find it extremely refreshing. And I want to say thanks because there's not that many people that operate that way. And I'm sure you know that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate that, man. And like I said, I mean, I respect you immensely. No joke. One of the first people who taught me a bunch of the beginner stuff that I started watching on YouTube. And I actually pulled a lot of my videos on my second channels and whatnot from Dylan. Just kind of like doing a spinoff of like the knowledge he had taught me and then trying to, of course, teach that to other people's. And you know, don't do the crazy dosages that you're seeing on social media nowadays and all these crazy cycles and following the trends of what everyone says they're doing or what's cool and hip and funny. And then people take it serious and they're doing like a gram of trend for their first cycle or something crazy. But yeah, jumping back to your point is the way I call out people, I always kind of found that if someone's guilty of something, even just an ordinary daily crime, if you just put a mic in front of them and then ask them a simple question, normally they'll talk themselves, you know, like 6 feet under, just like trying to kind of like cover their tracks and say, they're saying way too much. And that's how I know when someone's guilty of something is as soon as I ask them a very basic, are you natural or not? Or are you using fake weights? Very simple questions. They go on these long tangents about all these random things, trying to like combine it together into this elaborate story of how it's real. And I know instantly as soon as that, like the Brad Castleberries or the Simian Pandas, Mike O'Hearn, they go on these long tangents about how they're natural or they're not using fake weights, this, this, and that. And you know instantly as soon as they start to talk, their story unfolds.
Oh, when they take the politician approach, when you can't answer a yes or no question and it turns into this like biography of bullshit. I mean, you know, I mean, it's just, I can't stand that politician mindset, dude. I mean, it drives me crazy. And when you do that approach, you can tell and 10 seconds, actually 5 seconds, if somebody's full of shit or not right.
And I know a lot of people want me to do the like more aggressive approach, kind of like how my videos were years ago, where I'd be more confrontational about it. But I've just found that I can actually pull more information out of people if I take a more neutral standpoint and almost conduct it more like an interview and then just let them dig their own grave, if that makes sense, rather than just like shoving a camera in the face. Because then they normally don't want to film if I just come up super aggressive and I'm calling them out, confronting them. They won't even want to interview. So if I can kind of, hopefully they're not watching this so they don't learn the tricks of how I get the interviews. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely going to be more to come and yeah, more wild times because there's always these new characters popping up, whether it's Liver King or these individuals who, and the sad part is as well, I know me, like I can spot someone that's probably not natural. I know you definitely can. There's people that are in the industry that can spot them. But the problem is those new people that are just learning about fitness or just getting in the gym, because there's always those new teenagers that are just working out for the first time. They want to know what's attainable, what's not, about genetics, about compounds, and then hopefully steer them away from compounds so they can actually train naturally for a while and build, you know, a base instead of just immediately jumping to like Trenbolone, which is like the stupidest thing you can do. But yeah, just like kind of teaching them the actual knowledge and the transparency behind the industry. So they're not deceived by people like the Liver King.
Well, and that's the problem. What you just said is the exact problem. You and I and most people could give a shit if you're using steroids or not. Nobody cares, literally. It's not like in the 90s and 2000s where everybody cared. But when you lie and then you mislead other people, and then that in turn hurts them because it puts them in a position of thinking they can do this, you know, a certain way, and then figure out they can't. And then immediately they go to steroids because they think something's wrong. you know, and it's all the way wrong. And because of people like that, then it sets the precedent to tell people to use trend on a first cycle and get these people on social media thinking they got to learn to look a certain way. And I mean, I'm not saying everybody on social media, because we're on social media, but there's a lot of people on there that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. They just don't. And then they're giving out this insane advice on, and I don't really use TikTok a lot because I just, it is what it is, but there's people there, Facebook, there's people selling steroids on Instagram. I mean, it's insane what's going on. I mean, you see it.
Actually, one of my least favorite things is I have so many fake pages created of me that are selling steroids and whatnot on Instagram. And I hate it because I'll get DMs from these kids or teenagers being like, hey, I tried to buy from you, but I haven't heard from you, like from your backup page. I'm like, what page? And they'll send it to me as some fake profile that someone created. Who knows, that they're probably just scamming them, taking their money and whatnot. But it's the most infuriating thing.
Well, and hopefully, I mean, most of the guys that do what we do, hopefully they have verified accounts, you know, on social media, some sort of check mark. I mean, it's a little bit easier to get now. Sometimes you got to pay for it. Sometimes you can just get it verified by who you are, but everybody should take note of that. I've had fake profiles made. I'm sure Kenny's had more than me. Just be aware and be smart about it. You know, guys like us and most everybody else, we put our links out there and you can see it. Don't fall for that, because we don't do stuff like that. You know, guys like us certainly don't. I can't speak for everybody, but you know, most people try to protect themselves, so don't fall for that. But
I'm sure you get a lot of the DMs. Sorry to cut you off, but I know you probably get a lot of the DMs. I do all the time with the kids that either like want to know about their first cycles, or they'll ask a question about a video I put out maybe like 2 hours before they ask their question, right, which could totally answer their entire question if they watched the video or they were paying attention or did like maybe 5 seconds of a Google search like with my name in it. And then they would probably find exactly what their question was. And yes, the ridiculous questions that come from these teenagers is almost scary, because I know a lot of them, they're not doing it to troll. It's not a joke, that they're serious about like some of these cycles they're debating on taking when they're like 15, 16, just stepping foot in the gym for like the first week, first month. And it's actually very, very scary to me.
Oh, well, you know, I used to spend a ton of time on forums. I do now, but not nearly as much, because I got way too many things with family and work and business and stuff. But, you know, I take a lot of heat. I want to know about you too, because I get these guys and I tell everybody the same thing. If you want somebody to tell you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear, I'm not your guy. You know, I'm just not, because it's not helping anybody. And I understand that everybody now is overly sensitive. They want everybody to spoon feed them and tell them exactly what they want. That is, I'm sorry for losers, because you're not going to get anywhere that way. And I'm not trying to be an ass. It's a fact. And so what you were just saying, I get people that are in their teens or early 20s. I'm not going to give you steroid advice, dude. I'm not doing it, because I know it's going to hurt you long term. I don't care what you do. I'm not going to lose sleep either way, but I'm certainly not going to do something to put you in harm's way. So, and I also get heat, which is what I want to talk next, but I want you to tell me what you think about your messages. But, you know, I get heat about my conservative doses that I give out and call, you know, the bros tell me that, well, you're not big, so nobody can get big with your dosing, that type of shit. But first, you know, what kind of messages do you get? Do you get people mad at you and you won't tell them what they want?
Yeah. So a big misconception, probably the same I could actually say for you, is just because I talk about, like, let's say Trenbolone or Anavar, everyone thinks you're on it currently. Right. So everyone thinks I'm on like these crazy, crazy cycles, but I haven't even touched compounds other than my TRT for the last, I think, like 3 years now. Good. Time's just flying by. Yeah. But so everyone thinks I'm like taking all these crazy cycles just because I'm talking about it. And that they want to go to these gym bros who are the biggest dudes in the gym and pull knowledge from them. But they don't realize that this gym bro is getting his coach's cycle at these crazy dosages because he's competing in IFBB pro shows as an open bodybuilder and with insane freakish genetics where he's like a hyper responder to these compounds. So these teenagers immediately jump to the cycle that this IFBB pro and open bodybuilding is trying to do instead of like taking the stepping stones when they would still make the progress naturally. They would make the progress, probably the same progress doing it low dosage and then actually kind of like building up and building that foundation. Because your body can only build so quick. So why just especially, you know, with all the compounds, the negative drawbacks, I think everyone just looks at the benefits and doesn't actually research the side effects. Right. You know, they'll watch the video talking about everything you can gain, and then as soon as we start to talk about the side effects, they click off and go to the next compound that they want to add in their cycle. I swear that's how it goes or something. But yeah, people just need to know the ramifications of the long term, regardless if that's things in bodybuilding or just medications you get over the counter. I mean, just there's so much information readily available, whereas I was more limited and I had to go to you and, you know, the forums and probably even before your time, wherever. I don't even know where you pulled your knowledge from, if it was just research on forums and, you know, studies and everything. But there's just so much information nowadays that if people just dedicate a little bit of time to it, you can learn so much.
Yes. You know, when I really started digging into it, to be honest with you, you're going to probably laugh at this, was because I'm such an avid sports fan. Like, I fucking live and breathe sports, okay? And when the whole baseball steroid thing started, that's when I really, because I know even then I was like, I know what I'm reading here is not completely right when people in media and stuff start writing stuff about it. And I'm such a Jose Canseco fan. I read his book because he's like my all-time favorite baseball player. And I probably like all the villains because I like Barry Bonds. I like Jose Canseco, you know, all the people everybody hates. But that's when I started researching. And I was already into diet and training. And so I really started just hitting the books that were available at the time, because that's so long ago. Internet was still newer. And then as time went on, I study, started. Then I found forums, started getting involved there. Then I started to do the videos. Then I actually used things after I was actually coaching on it. But, you know, a lot of the heat that I've gotten is, you're not big. Well, guess what? I'm not a bodybuilder. You know what I mean? I've used everything that I could. I've been big. Just like I was telling you before we started, I just got done doing an hour and a half of cardio. I'm a cardio guy. I was a basketball player in college, not a bodybuilder. So I'm not a bro. I'm a student, you know?
Right. And there's a
difference. Just like, how many actual coaches in sports were tremendous or even played, but they're the smartest guys and know the most, right? And so it's like, and I had somebody tell me once, well, the best chefs are fat. Really? Well, then I guess Gordon Ramsay is not a Michelin chef, or Bobby Flay. It just doesn't make sense. The shit that people think and say.
Yeah. I feel like when people hear the word steroid, they think bodybuilder, you know, exactly. Phil Heath, Nick Walker, Andrew Jack, like all these dudes, they're the biggest bodybuilders in the world. And then they don't realize UFC fighters, baseball players, basketball players, NFL players. It just depends what you're doing and what you're trying to gain out of it. Maybe people just want more explosiveness, or even right. Cycle it. Lance Armstrong, you know, just obviously he didn't look like a bodybuilder.
No.
Or at least no. I don't think people would claim he looked like a bodybuilder, but everyone doesn't assume steroids just based on a body type or a way they look. But it really just depends what you're trying to do and what you're trying to gain. Absolutely. And I think that's just another stigma that needs to be broken. And then, of course, if you're a bodybuilder and let's say you don't have results, maybe you got bunk gear because everyone's apparently trying to buy this stuff online and from the first site they find on Google. Guarantee you're probably not getting the compounds you think you're getting.
No.
And then on top of that, then you need the genetics and you'd be a hyper responder. And then you need to actually know what you're doing and have someone that's smart, like maybe Dylan or someone, you know, coaching you through it and actually gaining the knowledge.
Well, and that's just it. And then my first argument that I always say is, if you're not big and use steroids, well, then why was Anavar created? Why was Prima Bullen created? Why was Masteron created? Why was Rinstrol created? Do those get you huge? No, they don't. So what's the point in using them then? They're steroids. They don't get you big. It's the most idiotic, nonsensical, half a brain cell functioning bros that come up with that shit. And then they pass it on. And then the people that actually know what they're talking about, that will prevent you from getting hurt long term, that we get the heat because we're not huge. And just like you pointed out, these guys start off huge. They don't just take a bunch of shit and get huge. They already have, it's just like an NBA player that's, you know, most of the guys, if you've been around them, they're like, you got to be, there's exceptions like everything, but they're genetically so tall and certain sizes. You can't teach that. There's nothing you can take to be 6'6" or 8 or whatever. And 260 and still run around like a madman. It's just, people don't get it. And that's the problem.
I think that's just the problem in general, bro. The society. Yeah. Honestly, if it wasn't for my career in marketing and whatnot, I would live totally isolated life. I'd probably move out of Vegas, get some farm, get as far away from social media as possible. A lot of people don't realize that. I do the con. Yeah, I still enjoy it, but of course I always need to change it up. And just social media has gotten so toxic and people are so opinionated. You can't really say what you want anymore with some form of backlash or people have something to say about what you said. And then it's just this ongoing pendulum of just people hating on one another and not wanting to speak up because they're afraid of backlash and then toxicity. And it's just, it's gotten so bad.
I agree. I've gotten to the point now because I'm too fucking old, dude. And I don't really care anymore. I used to get bothered like when I was your age, especially, and you're far more mature at your age than I was. I can tell you that right now. But I used to get bothered. I'd say things back and whatever. Now, when somebody says something, all I say is, I really appreciate you supporting the channel. Thanks for feeding the algorithm. I'm sorry my channel's not for you, but I hope that you have a wonderful day and I'll pray for you. And that's about all I say anymore. And I move on. Because if you respond to one and then you don't respond to another, it looks like you're scared of, you know what I mean? It's a never-ending cycle. Plus, when you wake up in the morning, do you give a shit what somebody commented on you on YouTube? Somebody that's right. In mom's basement. I mean, I don't, you know, don't you care more about your money and your family and your health and all of that as opposed to some jerk off from their basement?
Yeah. I mean, what I realized too, I mean, I think every YouTuber definitely goes through it. Cause I know in my initial, same thing for me, when I first started doing YouTube actively in 2017, if someone wrote a me comment, I would, you know, respond to it or I'd let it affect my day. If they're like, this video was horrible. This isn't your, like, you could do, you've done so much better work. Why would you publish this? And then I would actually like take into consideration what they said. I was like, oh damn, maybe this was a bad video. But right. Then of course, the longer you do it, you start to realize you don't know these people. Everyone's going to say something because they really just want to rise out of you. And normally if you're having haters, you're doing something right.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, the longer I started to do it, the more I realized when you have content creators like Mr. Beast and, you know, these top creators that their channels are engulfed around the idea of just giving to others and helping others in need. And even those channels are getting hate and backlash in massive amounts from people. It just shows you can't do something or some style of content that pleases everybody in the world. Right. So there's always going to be people that want to either like ride your coattail or have something negative to say about something positive you're doing. So I just don't even let it faze me anymore. You know, I just let people say what they want. Sometimes I'll even pin like the mean comment at the top of my videos just because I'll think it's funny or it's comical. Like my entire perspective around it has entirely changed from when I started.
Dude, there's so many things about your personality that are like mine that I love. I can't even tell you, man. It's hilarious. I love it.
I think it's the sports background, you know, like the gym bros that also played sports and whatnot. I just like to have a good time and, you know, I'm open, transparent. Like I'll talk about even about like my recreational use and stuff I've done throughout my past. I've done that in a couple videos.
Yeah.
I usually try and talk about a lot of my errors. Years ago, I talk about mistakes I've made, how I've tried to, you know, and then always changing up the content. I mean, like we've talked about before is, you know, just always changing up the content, wanting to do new things, try new things. Just enjoy life. I mean, everyone gets bored doing, you know, their regular job, whether that's their 9 to 5 and, you know, they want to change up or the routine where it starts to feel stagnant. And you're like on repeat every day. So everyone wants to do, you know, something new, try new things. And, you know, sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. But as long as you're having fun doing it, I mean, that's really the end goal for me at the moment. I don't really care so much about views anymore, subscribers. Ultimately, I just want to do content, stuff that I enjoy and I know I can enjoy doing.
Absolutely. I mean, bro, and as I'm sure you know this already, and as you get a little bit older, you start to realize everything in life is trial and error and things change. But like what you can eat as you get older, trust me, it changes. I mean, I'm 41 now and I cannot eat the same things I ate when I was 30, for example, you know. And
dude, you look good. No lie, though. Listen, I don't want to cut you off. You can finish this point. Well, you look good for your age. Like you look like you're my age or maybe even younger than my age, to be honest. So it goes to show people should take your knowledge.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You know, I stopped drinking and partying and stuff when I was in my earlier 30s. I try to really take my eating. I'm probably way over regimented, you know, with what I do. I eat the same things at the same time every day. I mean, it's brutal. I don't eat out barely a couple times a year. God bless my wife. You know, she deals with it. But I care about how I feel and look and, you know, and that's for me. It's not for anybody else. It's just, it is what it is. But, you know, I was going to ask you about your steroid use and your TRT. And then I wanted to talk about your TRT dose and all of that and how you started on it. I, put myself on TRT like an absolute dipshit against what I preach when I was right about your age. I think I was 32. And I do about 125. I haven't ran any cycles. And the only thing I've ran in the past 3.5, 4 years is Anavar with my TRT. And this, I can't run high test doses because I'm super estrogen prone. And so I don't even go over 125 anymore. And I'm not telling people that are cycling to stay that low. But I've ran pretty much everything that you could possibly run once. I accidentally used D-ball. It was not my intention. early on, I thought I was using Anavar. And I realized within 2 weeks that I had gained 15 pounds. And it probably wasn't Anavar and Masteron. I
was like, damn, this daily vitamin's working.
Yeah, right.
Whatever they put in these formulas nowadays, it's on point.
That Walmart chicken, man, when I moved to Vegas, you know what I mean? That was hitting. But I don't know. Once you use everything once and you use Trend a couple times, you realize, man, this shit, you know, you don't want to feel like that. And it's just, anyway, I stick to the 125 test cypionate. It's a twice a week dose. I do like Mondays and Fridays generally, but that's all I've been doing for like 3 years now, man. I've ran, I like S4 and I like GW cause I'm a distance runner. But that's about it, man. And I've kind of stayed off everything. I monitor blood work frequently, especially the older I get. I've been through some stress and eaten too less and too little. And like my potassium, magnesium were low and I have a sauna home. I sweat a lot. So I've been monitoring and adding heart healthy things. But what do you, I mean, because you're a lot younger than me and you've probably already done, you know, quite a few things. What do you look at and what do you kind of do now with yourself?
Definitely more kind of like how you are, a health approach for sure. Just because I know I don't want a career in bodybuilding. Of course, I'm always going to enjoy working out and staying fit and like kind of having the look and whatnot. And then it's also a recreational fun thing to do to pass time, kind of give me a euphoria boost and whatnot. But sure. Definitely I'm not going to be like a pro bodybuilder. I'm not going to be making my money definitely competing or anything. And right. That's another big misconception is people shouldn't get into if they think they're going to be making some massive, you know, bags of money, because I guarantee you can make so much more money doing any other thing.
Thank you.
So yeah, it's definitely around my businesses. So the health approach, my TRT I've been doing for, I believe, the last 3 years, same thing as you. I think I jumped on it too soon. I wish I had waited a little longer. Now my concern is if I was ever to try and come off, if I would get whatever levels back. And that was another mistake I made before I ever competed, was I never did my blood work before I touched anything to see what my levels were early on, you know, my testosterone, my estrogen, thyroid, like everything, which I wish I had done. So if you're watching this, I definitely recommend doing that before you ever debate touching anything. So if I'd ever bounce it back, I don't know. So I might just be on TRT for life at this point, which is, my dosage is high. It is 200 milligrams a week of the test sip. I have an AI thrown in there of, I believe it's Arimidex, not Aromacin, and then Clomid for, or I mean, sorry, HCG for fertility, but my fertility is still incredibly low. Who knows if I'll ever get it back unless I came off of the TRT and that dosage being so high. And I split that up like you into two dosages a week.
Yeah.
And I might lower it just because my estrogen levels are elevated, even with the AI in my protocol, just because of that conversion. My body just, my levels were around, I think, 12 to 1300 nanograms per deciliter or something the last time I did blood work a couple of weeks ago. But same thing with compounds. I've tried just about everything just because I'm a very firm believer and I like to have knowledge about stuff, but I also like firsthand experience, seeing how it feels. You know, I'd rather talk to someone about cocaine that has tried cocaine than someone that has strictly only researched cocaine their entire life. So they don't actually know how it feels. They just hear from other people how it feels. So I like to personally experience everything and then also have the knowledge about it. So that way I can better talk about it. And same thing with like Trenbolone. I only tried for a couple weeks and I learned it wasn't for me. The side effects were just way too brutal. I got insomnia and night sweats where I'd be waking up in pools of sweat under me. And if I was doing anything, even just like walking around my house or sitting on my couch, I was just sweating like beads of sweat. And the results and everything just wasn't there for me. That was worth going through those side effects and just being completely miserable. SARMs was probably one of my favorite things, actually, more than any compound with a test base, just because that was my best look when I competed in 2019 was my last show. And yeah, that's by far my best look. That was like, I believe RAD, YK11 and LGD with a very low test base. And that was essentially what my cycle was. And then also threw in some AI, some hardcore AIs at the end, which that's when I realized that crashing your estrogen will make you feel like complete and utter shit.
Right.
So I learned the hard way. And that was another example of, yeah, trial and error, just like trying things and seeing what works, what doesn't, and then experience. So then you never have to venture down that route again, and you know what to expect. So I'd probably never, ever in my life at this moment try trenbolone again, because I know there's no need for it. There's no desire for it. Probably just the TRT. As long as I have good mental clarity, I have a good libido for the rest of my life. I get good sleep, and yeah, doing a more health conscious approach. That's basically what I'm, my embodiment of what I'm trying to achieve now.
So there's three things I want to talk to you about now with what you said. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of an experience on Tren. I'm going to talk to you about your TRT dose, and then I'm going to talk to you about SARM. So first with Tren, and I'm curious how, if you had this happen or not. So I've ran Tren 4 times, and I'm not proud nor happy about that. And I'm going to explain something to everybody and see if you had this experience or not. So I didn't get the night sweats the first time. That happened the second time. Now, the first time, I got greedy, and I mean severely greedy. I mean, I was on a mix of Tren. It was like a Tren Hex, but it was a UGL mix. It was like this monster Tren. And I was told, don't do more than a cc a week. So I start with a cc a week. And I mean, when I tell you I feel like a Superman, that's an understatement. I'm like, okay, I'm doing pretty fucking good here, right? So we're going to bump it. I'm doing really good here. I'm about 3.5 weeks in. Fourth week hits. And I mean, I am a guy that is always in control of my, especially my emotions. You know, everybody gets a little impatient or angry, but I'm a guy that's not too up and down, not too depressive. This thing had me sitting on the couch thinking that I was the biggest piece of trash in the world. I mean, I was beating up on myself about everything. I remember one time sitting there in a tear, and I'm not I've cried before, but I'm not a big crier. And I had a couple tears start rolling down my eyes, and I'm like, what is going on? I mean, it was starting to scare me. So I stopped. Second time around, and I just made a video called The Best Way to Run Tren is to Not Run It at All. That was the title.
I know, it's a good video. Yeah,
it is. It pissed some people off, but I'm sorry. I don't care. But the second time I got the night sweats, and I was living in Seattle this time because I'd moved from Vegas, and it was in the winter. So you imagine sweating in the winter. It's still not like in Iowa where I'm at, but it's pretty damn cold. My poor wife, God bless her, is just dealing with it. And it was so brutally bad. By the time I got to the fourth one, when it started to actually affect my libido, that is one side effect I won't deal with. I just won't stop. I'm just like done. I don't want to deal with this. There's a lot of bad side effects and probably worse, but mentally for me, there's nothing worse. So, did you run Tren Ace your first time when you ran it?
No, it was a Tren Enanthate, I believe. Okay. So it took a few weeks to kick in. And then once I started to notice it, that's when I did. I mean, one thing I want to make clear is I did feel like a beast in the gym. You know, everyone has that like godlike complex where you're moving more weight than you've ever moved. You're looking good. But just the way I internally felt. And then same thing with you is I've always been so level-headed and non-confrontational, even though based on my videos, some people would probably think I'm confrontational. But I like to just keep to myself. I'm usually very easygoing, friendly with everyone around me. Yeah. And then I started to notice myself getting snappy, especially when I was driving, almost like a road rage type thing where someone would turn wrong or something and would just agitate me. So I started to get this agitation that I couldn't figure out because it had never happened to me in my life. And then I actually figured out, of course, it's from the Tren, and then accompanied with the night sweats and whatnot. And I'm a guy that's never run crazy dosages. So it's always mind blowing to me to see on TikTok and social media nowadays, these people that are doing like a gram of Tren or even above that. Because I've never run any compound, even testosterone, above 500 milligrams. And testosterone was the highest I ever ran anything. I think the highest I ever did the Tren Enanthate was like 400 milligrams a week. If I remember right, 300 to 400, it's been a while, but sometime around in that dosage. And yeah, just definitely was not for me. And then same thing as you said with testosterone, I'm very estrogen prone. I've had a puberty-based gyno long before I'd ever touched any compounds. I just never dissipated fully from when I went through puberty. And then, I start to get like a lot of water retention. I don't feel ideal. And same thing with you, what you said, if I have any type of performance issues, immediately done. Like I'm done with that. Done. Because it's no amount of the way your physique looks, at least to me, maybe it is for someone else out there, but no, I could have a Chris Bumstead physique, but if I have a zero libido, I'm still not going to want to do it, because that just eliminates such a big, like, fun part of life that why would you want to just completely get rid of that? Unless maybe that's for you. I mean, maybe someone watching would, you know, wouldn't really care, but I know for me, not a thing.
One thing I can tell you, which I totally with you on that. Every time I've looked my best, 8-pack, shredded, whatever, I've always felt my worst. I've always felt my absolute worst physically. You never know by pictures and stuff people post. You feel your worst physically, mentally, just a dick. I mean, so quick to snap and just be short-fused and just kind of never really enjoying anything, you know, because you're just not really there, because you're just draining yourself of all the nutrients that you need. And these people, they look great, but if they're doing all of these things and walking around like that, I'm going to bet you 99% of them do not feel good at all. And I'm just happy to stay at a very good, you know, weight and body fat that's acceptable and still feel good at the same time. And I've always struggled with, like, body image and things. I modeled for in Italy and in New York and Chicago. And so and even before that, I've always had a body image thing. And so it's been hard for me to kind of, you know what I mean? And that's probably why I do all the cardio and things. And I don't really talk about that with anybody, but it's better to be honest and tell, because everybody's got something.
I honestly always tell people the first day you start working out is the first day you will forever have body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
Because I swear everyone who has ever worked out, of course there's levels to it. There's severity. I've met some bodybuilders who, one of them is 300 pounds at one point, and if he loses like 2 pounds or he misses a meal, it completely ruins his day. And he thinks he's the smallest dude in the gym when he's still like 298 pounds.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's just levels to it, but I definitely think everyone wants to look a certain way and they hold themselves. And then they're always going to view themselves different than maybe how other people are going to view them. So, yep. You know, someone walking by might think you look incredibly impressive. You have an amazing physique. You've been working out. Like, this guy definitely trains super hard, amazing genetics, but internally you're not what you think or deem to be your best. So you're kind of like down on yourself. And I mean, I have body dysmorphia. I'm pretty sure every single person that has ever touched a weight, and maybe not even in the gym, people, you know, that's why plastic surgery exists and everything. Yeah. People are always wanting to change things, look a certain way. And people are always going to want to change things, you know, improve things if they can based on what they're seeing in the mirror.
You know, I was going to tell you too, I also had the puberty gyno, and I actually got it removed in Vegas, in Henderson, one of the top plastic surgeons there. I had it done, I believe it was 2014, 45 minutes in and out. I was awake the whole time while they did it. I didn't have them put me under.
Oh, you were awake for it? Ooh, rough.
Talk to him the whole time.
Oh my God.
They showed me when they took it out, it was fucking, it was gross. I still remember. And I wasn't really supposed to, you know, they gave me that, it didn't knock me out, but I was kind of, you know, like, whoa, when I was done, right? I still got on a motorcycle and rode home like a complete idiot. I don't recommend that. But I believe I paid, it was $3,500 or $4,500. And I started cardio in 3 weeks and I started lifting after a month, and that was it. And, but you still, just because you have that done doesn't mean you still can't run AIs, and you still can get estrogen side effects. You might not get gynecomastia, but I mean, you know, when you elevate your estrogen, obviously you're going to get bloated, but you're going to get high blood pressure, certainly extremely dangerous. And so just so people know, if you do get that procedure, doesn't mean that you're not still prone to estrogen by any stretch.
I think that's another big misconception too that we could cover, is there's so many people that think either like they want a completely crashed estrogen because for some reason they think estrogen's bad,
right?
Or they have their estrogen too high and they think maybe that's good. Same thing with testosterone, low, high. Yep. And people just need to realize it's a balance of having it in ideal ranges, because if you crash your estrogen, you're gonna feel like shit, you're gonna have like no libido, you're gonna have no energy, you're not going to want to do anything, you're going to be moody. And the same thing, if you go too high with estrogen, you're going to encounter just a plethora of side effects where it's not worth it. So that's where the trial and error, you know, that's, I can't ever give someone, maybe you can give them like a basic fundamental cycle to start with, Mm-hmm. But everyone is definitely a trial and error because our DNA is all different. Everyone's going to respond different to certain compounds or certain dosages. Some people may love Anavar and some people might respond very poorly to Anavar for whatever reason. There's always outliers and things that can cause things to go completely catastrophic. So starting with the basic cycles and just seeing how it goes, trial and error, seeing what you like, what you don't like, lowering dosages, maybe higher dosages, adding things in, of course, doing your blood work, just, I don't know, I guess actually taking the time out of your day to pull knowledge rather than just looking at the biggest bodybuilder and seeing what he's doing and trying to replicate that.
Right. 100%. A lot of these guys, they don't care about tomorrow. You know what I mean? They don't think long-term. They don't think about 24-hour long-term. And I always struggle with, I understand that some people are just like desperate to get a pro card, but you brought up one of my favorite points that I've been talking about for so long that gets people so mad. It's like, if you wanted to, if you told me, Dylan, I want to play in the NBA, I'd say that's great. But the chances are you're a 0.0001%. Shoot for your dreams, but understand that, you know, the likelihood. So what you said, how many people are really going to make money? Well, is it worth it? Because you, let's face reality, you do have to take a bunch of juice to be able to compete with people. That is true. I don't disagree. But I'm talking risk versus reward. Is it worth it? What are you ultimately going to get? Is it worth it to shave 20 years off your life or possibly kill yourself in your 30s to have a pro card that got you nothing but to say you're cool in front of guys? I mean, that's why I would say I am not worried about impressing a bunch of dudes with my physique. And take that for what it is. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I don't care, you know? So, I mean, do you agree with me that it's senseless to use all of that stuff to get nothing for it but a pro card?
Yeah, it's definitely an ego or a flex type thing. It's a lot of people, I always compare it to, like, someone buys a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Mainly because they just want to flex it on social media or show off, like, oh, I make so much money. I'm so important. I have a Lamborghini. And then after some time of posting it, they don't want the car. And the pro card is essentially just an ego boost where you're trying to flex for other people. And like you said, specifically men, because most people that are watching bodybuilding are going to be men watching other dudes compete and wanting to look like that dude's physique and looking up to that dude. And to be honest, most girls, especially the ones I've interviewed, normally don't find the open bodybuilders or these massive physiques attractive. They'd rather just have a fit guy. Probably yep. A natural physique, to be honest, that just has a good midsection, maybe some good arms, and just looks like he works out. Probably even more like, I hate to say it, but like a CrossFit athlete or like a calisthenics guy, more than the bodybuilder type look. So you're chasing this pro card, which is essentially just a flex for social media or for your ego. And then after that, they don't have any goal because they've achieved the pro card, and they're probably not going to be in the top competitors on the pro stage. Majority of them, of course, you know, especially when you're competing against, you know, Nick Walker and all these guys, then you have another, even add in more decimal points to that percentage of making it. And then on top of that, those top bodybuilders, like the top 10, majority of them don't know how to market themselves and don't know business. So they're all competing for this paycheck at the end of the year. And that's the best in the world. And that paycheck isn't even remotely big. Like if you look at the top bikini competitor in the entire world, I think it was 25 grand or something this last year at Olympia.
Yeah.
So you're competing to be the best in the world for 25 grand. When if you just invested that time and your health, you're getting so many more benefits out of just prioritizing yourself and your business, where it's just not a smart business move. And I've always been a businessman where why would I compete and want to chase a pro card, especially when I know I don't have the genetics, the small waist and the taper and everything to go into competing. And I have way too many tattoos now as well. Why? It just wouldn't make sense to me at all, logically. And I'm not trying to flex for other people. I don't care what any other people think. Right. As long as I'm, you know, feeling good and optimal, that's ultimately my end goal.
I totally agree. And I'm not trying to sound like old man here, but I mean, I only really care anymore what my wife says. You know what I mean? I mean, what the hell else do I'm at that age. But even then, it's like when I make a post online anymore, it's like mostly family stuff. I'll do some gym things, but it's certainly not to impress anybody. It's just to kind of show a form or show off some shoes that I'm trying to market or something like that. You know what I mean? So I think, I mean, man, we're on the same page on so many things. It's insane. I was going to talk to you
about... I think that's why I clicked with your content so well, too, initially, was you were incredibly knowledgeable. And I knew at that time, too, just because of, like, competing, I knew that just because you weren't the biggest bodybuilder on the stage talking about it doesn't mean you don't have immense knowledge and know what you're talking about and giving good advice to people. And that was one of the main things I liked is you can make progress and take a healthy approach and actually be knowledgeable about what you're doing rather than just going blindly into something,
yes,
hoping to, and just having the stigma like everyone else does nowadays that steroids and these crazy cycles are the only way to get big. And if you don't get big, you're not doing it right. You're not doing the dosage high enough. It's just, there's so many just falsehoods out there.
True, true, true. And you know, my kind of thing now, especially is, I'm preaching health and longevity for multiple reasons. The more that I get older and like have family, I'm realizing how important like your time is. You kind of, I don't want to sound morbid here, but you kind of have to accept like your mortality. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like it's something you start thinking. I'm not sitting here thinking about it daily like a psycho, but you do think about it. And it's, and my goal then is to teach people like, you know, your time is really not long here. It flies. I mean, it flies, dude. I feel like I was 25, like very recently, you know, and it's insane. We just had our daughter here and she's 21. She's my stepdaughter, but she's really my daughter. And, she's already 21, dude. You know what I mean? So my goal is to teach people, yes, you can use steroids if you want. I really don't necessarily condone it, but I'm here to help you do it right so you don't hurt yourself. But my goal is think about others first, think about how it's going to affect your family, and is it worth it to do these crazy things when you could take away time from your kids, your wife, your mom, your dad, I mean whatever, whoever it is, you know, whatever it is, your partner, I don't know, whatever people call it. Just think about these things longer term, because if you don't, you'll wake up one day and you go to the doctor to have blood work done, and you could be like at a stage where it's like too late, seriously, or at a bad stage. I went in and I couldn't eat any better or any cleaner. And I went and had a calcium score done on my heart, and I've had echocardiograms, everything perfect, perfect, perfect. I had plaque on my heart and it's genetic. And so I had to start taking, a statin now at night, and I had to change my diet around. I'm not eating enough. So I had to start taking omega-3s. I'm having like different types. Like I hate salmon. I'm still having to eat it. I mean, I've had to change a lot of things around, and we caught it, but it's still there and it shouldn't be considering my condition. So you could have things going on that you're not even aware of. And it's all of these things. Check family history, you know, get your checkups. Don't put blood work off because it's a pain to go do it. It's not. It's these little things that add up over time that if you don't do them, you could wake up screwed, you know? And so that's what I kind of try to stress anymore.
Especially because blood work is so easy nowadays. I don't think people realize how easy they have it. Like back, yeah, like 2011, back when I should have been doing blood work, I don't even know where I would have, like, there wasn't the clinics and the, I can walk into a LabCorp now and within 5 minutes have my labs pulled, just going in fasted, and then have those results within like a day or two. You know, yeah. It's like less than a 10-minute process, the whole thing from sit down to getting my blood work pulled. So back in the day, people had it so much harder. And there's just so much information that people just need to actually take the time. If you're going to do a cycle for 8-12 weeks, however long you're going to do it or however long you want to have your career, at least spend some time, especially with how much free time we have, researching what could happen, what could go bad.
And that's
right. And I'm sure you've seen, too, just all the bodybuilders that are falling over there, even just the last couple of years. Of course, there's probably other outliers and, you know, things that might be going on with, you know, I don't like to say the word, but what happened a couple of years ago and like the agenda that was pushed and whatnot. But, you know, maybe it's that accompanied with the gear use. We really don't know. Or maybe it's just the gear use, and maybe they had underlying health conditions, like you mentioned, that went undiagnosed, and then them taking their cycles and whatnot amplified it to the point where they passed away in their 30s or their early 40s. So just always knowing what's going on internally, because yeah, you may look impressive on the outside, you're chiseled, you have 3D delts, you have an 8-pack, 6-pack, you got quad feathering and striations, but maybe internally your body is just completely destroyed. Your liver enzymes are through the roof, your kidney functions like bare minimum, your heart is hardly working, your blood pressure is through the roof. Who knows?
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of these people too, like taking painkillers with steroids is like the worst. People use recreational drugs. Cocaine is pretty popular because it helps with the weight too and everything like that. These things just speed up the killing process, essentially, when you're doing it with steroids. Plus, you know, starving or not eating enough, you know, cutting and gaining, cutting and gaining, yo-yoing up and down. All of these things are so hard on you. It's like when you see boxers and fighters that have dominated and then they go up and then they go down and then you see them start to get beat up. Roy Jones is a prime example. Just all of a sudden, dominant, 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 go up, go down, go up, go down, get your ass whipped. That's just what happens. You can't do these things. It's too hard on a human body and people don't get that. You start taking D-ball and things like that that blow you up with estrogen and you go down and you go up and then you go down. Over time, you might be okay right now, but I promise you, you're not thinking long term, 5-10 years down the road. That's like a lot of these young guys. Well, my blood work looks good. Talk to me in 10 years, but don't ask for my help after I told you so. You know, I mean, they just don't get it.
Like, hey, Dylan, I really fucked up. I didn't take your advice and I should have. So can you help me out of this?
So many times, bro. If I had a dollar for that, every time I heard that, guaranteed over a millionaire. Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Retired.
Certainly retired. So one of the things, and I saw you cut this video, and this is why I'm bringing it up. I wanted to tell people, when you're taking testosterone, if you have actual good testosterone, like, and we're talking numbers here, like you just said, you're doing 200 milligrams a week, and you said you were about 1,200, 1,300, right?
Yeah. The highest I ever went was 250, and that was too high. I was having way too much estrogen conversion where I needed more of an AI. And I've honestly, my best ideal approach for me would be a testosterone dosage, which I'm probably going to even lower the 200, maybe to like 150 or something, and see how my numbers are in my blood work after that. Just because I don't want to have to take an AI, and I just want my estrogen in a range where I'm not having conversion, but I'm feeling optimal. So yeah. When I was at 250, I was having way too much conversion, and it's just not worth it. Obviously, 250 isn't TRT. That's definitely a mini cycle.
No, I'm not going to tell you something that you don't already know, because you know just as much as I do. But what I was going to tell everybody else, when Kenny said he's at 1,200 to 1,300, that's exactly where it should be. Because generally speaking, whatever you're taking, and everybody's a little different. Some people severely hypogonadal, it might be a little lower. Some people metabolize quick, it might be a little bit different, but 5 to 7 times your dose. So you're taking 200, you should be, you know, 1,000 to 1,400. So you're perfect. Clearly you got good tests, your dose, and exactly what you should. Mine is about 650 the last time I did, 675, which is right where I want to be. Generally a good range is, you know, 600 to 800, I would say. You start getting over 1,000, it's a little too high. And that was my concern with yours and your, you know, you're needing an AI, which sucks for me and you because we need them. You kind of don't want to have to do that. And then another thing on the fertility, I was also going to bring up the ultimate fertility cycle that I've managed to see now work, that actually works for guys on TRT like me and you, is just what you said, HCG and Clomid. But you know what the key to that one is HMG. And you take those three, HMG is actually the key there. And no, if you go to any fertility clinic, they're not going to give you HMG. They're not even going to talk about it. They want to put you, they want you to stop tests. But if you don't, you got to do HCG and Clomid, but HMG within there. But when you were talking about fertility, mine is zero, like literally zero. Not, and that's probably from a lot of marijuana and then steroids, you know, but that's a different story, but it's a fact. And so I just, you know, I'm too old now, but that's something to be aware of, you know, when you're on.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is I think definitely people should be aware of that, that that's a possibility, that maybe if you do it for too long, there is always a chance that maybe you won't be able to get your fertility back. I think most people probably could, but once again, it's just everyone's different. So, you know, maybe you're permanently shut down in your fertility forever. Luckily for me, I mean, I definitely don't want kids right now. Who knows? Maybe, you know, 5 years from now, I don't know, my perspectives and whatnot, what I'm wanting is always changing and adapting. But at least at the moment, it is ideal for my fertility to be shot. You know, don't want any unforeseen things happening. But I know I could definitely do a protocol or something if I wanted to try and get it back. But definitely at the moment, it's not on my radar. But people should be aware of that without a doubt.
Absolutely. So on the SARMs front, so that's kind of what I'm known for. And I was going to talk about how I even got into it and what I ran the first time. So when I started, there was only three SARMs you could really buy. And that was S4, MK2866, and MK677. Nobody had 677, and it was literally $250 a pop for 677.
I'm going to have to raise my prices, bro.
Yeah, right.
let's bring it back. You know, like cocaine has been the same price for damn near, I don't even know how many years now. Let's just get MK677 back up there.
It's crazy. But so essentially, the only things people were running were 2866 and S4. And so it was 2012. I still remember. And what happened was, is I was on the forums and I was told, do you want some marketing work? And all we did was market for supplements or free products. That's it. And they said, well, we want you to do for SARMs. And I don't know what the hell they are. You know, I'm talking pro hormones and steroids is all I know. So I will not get involved in anything unless I know it inside and out. So, I mean, bro, and there's limited research, right? There were studies and people that used them, but research is limited. And I spent night, and I'm a reader, like a late night reader still. And I spent all this time, and I'm telling you, the main reason I got into them was the results I got on just those two. And that's it. And it intrigued me so much. And I'm a big S4 fan, like a huge S4 fan. I know some people aren't. And I got into it like that. Then came GW, like it was about 2014. Then came LGD. And it's funny because the first information on LGD was so wrong. And same with GW. I mean, it was just bad. And every time a new one comes out, it's like RAD was supposed to be a replacement for TRT. Not so much. And you know the drill, but essentially it's like now they're making them to where like S23 and LGD 3303, they might as well be a steroid. I mean, they're SARMs, but they might as well be a steroid. So it's progressively gotten, you know, worse. And then when the pro hormones got banned, the secret got out and everybody wanted to start selling SARMs illegally by selling them as supplements, but that's whatever. But then it comes to where people start selling. They were selling pro hormones as SARMs to sell off the pro hormones they couldn't sell. I know companies that were stuck with over $1 million of raws that they couldn't sell. And so they were putting them in there, making you think you're getting huge results with SARMs, which you can. You and I both know you can get excellent results, but you shouldn't be gaining fucking 20 pounds on SARMs and getting, you know, suppressed and toxicity up the ass and everything else that was going on. So I've been around at all from the very beginning, and I've seen it all, and I've made stuff like, at first I was telling people capsulated SARMs were bad because that's what I was told. And I think I was told because of the companies I was marketing for to push that. And then I got into it with people that I totally regret. And I made a lot of mistakes that I admit, I'll admit it all day long. I got no problem with that. There's a lot of bad info, a lot of good info, and I'm sure you've seen and heard it all. And but what did you start with, and how did you get into SARMs, and what's your thoughts on them?
I think my first legit, what I'd say is cycle or unnatural route, was definitely pro hormone from GNC. I don't even remember what one it would have been or what compound. That it was just when they were sold, and I was probably 18 or something, because I remember you had to be 18 or something to buy them, mm-hmm. or maybe it was 16. But yeah, it was definitely pro hormone at GNC. Probably very on, suppressed myself, didn't even know it. I didn't have any knowledge about anything back then. I was just playing, you know, football, all my sports and whatnot. Sure. And then, you know, one of my buddies was like some super freak who was benching like 405 as like a sophomore in high school. So I was like, oh, fuck, like I got to step my shit up. But yeah, so it started with that, and then it transitioned to, and that was also the days of the crazy pre-workouts. I'm sure you remember Jacked and Craze and all those ones that were basically just meth in a bottle. And you're just going to your workouts insanely cracked out. But the first SARM was, I believe, Osterine. And yet, same, I had great results, felt phenomenal. Didn't feel suppressed or anything that was noticeable. Unfortunately, I loved S4, the results. I got the vision side and it freaked me out. And I had LASIK a couple of years ago. So vision has just always been one of the things where, even though that side effect dissipated as soon as I discontinued the use and whatnot, and my eyes would adjust, and it actually wasn't that bad when you think about it, it just freaked me out. So I was like, I'd rather just like try some other stuff. loved MK677. Definitely one of the most popular by far nowadays. I get so many thousands of questions about MK677 all the time. And that's probably why on my second channel, I have probably like 10 to 15 videos or something on MK677, because people just always want to see that content, which kind of gets annoying. I'm sure you know, talking about the same things on repeat over and over, because people don't want to look back to a video that was like 2 years ago or a year ago. They want some updated new video from a week ago or something. Absolutely. But let's see. Yeah, like you were saying, YK11, S23 basically should just be steroids.
Yes.
YK11 is, I think, one molecule off from being a full-blown DHT compound. So for the people that are watching that don't know, DHT is, you know, like your Winstrol, your Anavar, your Masteron, the DHT derivative compounds. So pretty much damn near the same thing. Like the results I got from YK11 would probably be very similar to some of the results I got when I was taking like oral Winstrol.
Absolutely. That's correct.
Yeah. And that's another big misconception, is I always hate the people that come onto my channel or in my comment section saying SARMs are bunk, SARMs don't work. And I'm like, this dude has definitely either never tried them, or he got maybe like prohormones or something totally different that was labeled as a SARM. But when you get legit YK11 or RAD, LGD, MK677, any of these, Carterine, you know, GW501, 516, you're going to know it's legit if you've actually experimented with it, as I'm sure you know. Like my cardio went through the roof as soon as I started taking, you know, Carterine. My lifts went through the roof. I knew LGD 3303 wasn't for me, because I would get these pumps that were painful pumps, like 2 to 4 reps into every set, where I actually had to stop it because it was hindering my workouts. Right. He's deadlifting, and it was such a painful pump that even after my workout, I'd go sit in my car and I was just in like excruciating pain from the pump, just not dissipating. So there was that. I've experimented with damn near everything, and I've probably chemically castrated myself for sure, you know, with the S23 and the YK11 and everything, but it is what it is. And then of course, you know, that's why TRT is always nice. And another big misconception, I mean, we could probably talk all day, honestly, but TRT, I also hate how people lump some TRT as a cycle. Like people are asking me in DMs and questions about TRT as if it's an 8 to 12 week cycle. And I'm like, that should be like a lifelong commitment if you're in declined levels and you want an improvement in your quality of life, and not running, you know, these crazy high TRT dosages, because there's some bodybuilder that's probably taking 500 milligrams, you know, nonstop his entire life thinking that's TRT. So everyone thinks that TRT is these insanely high dosages or a cycle where you're throwing in other compounds and you're going to gain 40 to 50 pounds of muscle on TRT. And people just need to know it gets you into the normal range. That's the purpose of TRT.
So I just did a video and it was called "Does TRT Get You Jacked?" And so the older I've got, I hate politics. I hate politics. I hate the media, but I watch it because it's important to me to know how it's affecting me financially and how it's going to affect my kids and everything. And I got so pissed because, RFK's trying to run on one side of the ticket, and he is on TRT, and they show him on lifting and stuff, and they start putting out this bullshit about how he's on steroids and all of this. And that's one of the things why people get so screwed up. That's just part of it. We covered the bros, but then media, right, put out nonsense. And you've seen it. I guarantee they put out these articles on SARMs that they cause this, this, and this. And I'm like, no, bro, they do not. That's people reporting that either didn't use real SARMs or they're using the hardest core ones.
Yeah. Or they're throwing in, you know, some oral Anadrol in their cycle for 4 months straight. And they're wondering why their liver enzymes are high. And they're like, oh, no, it's the RAD that he had in there. But they're leaving out all the other things.
There are some that can cause some minimal thing. RAD can bump your cholesterol a little bit. I've seen some people that have a little bit of elevated liver enzymes with MK2866, but it's minimal, dude. Like the things that get said, if it's strictly SARMs only, and you've done pre, mid, and post, and you've got real SARMs, and I'm talking pre, mid, and post blood work, I've seen it thousands of times because I fucking coached it and ran it myself. So I know. I don't take things off of what I've seen 10 times. I take things off what I've seen thousands of times, because I have over all these years. Shit, I hope. And so people have to really get proper education, as opposed to going to Reddit, which is like a cesspool of ignorance, going to like the media, going to people on social media that have no experience. If you got somebody like Kenny that's got 400,000 or 500,000 followers or a million that's got experience, yeah, you can trust that. Don't trust this dude that looks like a surfer that's 21 years old that doesn't know shit, that's trying to sell you something that he don't even know what it is. He's selling you fun dip put in capsules. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. And that's the problem with people that don't do due diligence. Just because somebody's got a channel and they're appealing to people in the wrong way doesn't mean they know what they're doing. It just doesn't. You got to look for credibility. It does exist. I know it's crazy, but it does exist.
And so, that perfectly just lump sums into the whole Liver King facade. You know, like just having that image and that look doesn't mean that what they're telling you is what they're doing or, you know, anything behind the scenes. You know, maybe they're influenced by some, probably most likely a financial gain of some sort.
Yes.
Obviously why he was promoting his liver supplements and whatnot nonstop, while hiding the fact that he's on, you know, this crazy cycle for a long time, achieving the physique he has. And, you know, it's just time and time again, people will just do the research, you know, go to Google, look up studies that are by credible sources, people that have actually tried it, people like Dylan and unfortunately Boston, who passed away, just people that have actually tried things, and then just cross-referencing, you know, like seeing what matches up, then maybe trial and error, potentially, if you want to dabble down the route, it's your life, do what you want. But definitely stay natural as long as possible. I mean, that's my biggest advice for everyone that always asks is, build a base naturally, then maybe when you're older, make the decision if for whatever reason, what you're going to gain out of your physique and going enhanced, maybe it's professional sports, maybe it's bodybuilding, it's just the risk to reward, if it's worth it for you in the long run. That's basically.
I love that you said that risk versus reward, man. I really love that. Listen, first of all, this is not a cheap lifestyle. If you can't afford to buy your blood work and buy everything you need for post-cycle and every ancillary and protective that you need on cycle, just wait. You don't have to be a millionaire, but you also got to have some money. Plus, you got to change the way you eat and you got to, you know, your gym member. There's a lot of money that goes into this if you want to do it right. And you have to factor that in. There's no such thing as a budget cycle. A budget cycle is a bad cycle because that means that you're taking shortcuts in areas that, you know, I don't sell any of these supplements. I don't give a shit. I'm just telling you what you need to take. It's imperative to protect yourself at all times and to do thorough research.
Did you ever get any infections? I got some gnarly ones where, it steered me dead clear of any underground labs forever.
Luckily,
only get my stuff from pharmacies now, or if I can quality control check what's, you know, being made or facilitated, just because, especially in my quads, my glutes. One time it was so swollen and I couldn't even touch it. I could hardly walk. I honestly thought that I was going to have to go get my muscle filleted open to drain the infection. And then I've seen it firsthand because I've been to these trap houses where the things are being made that people are, you know, it's being mixed in bathtubs. It's being mixed in people's dirty ass sinks that they're not cleaning. Their livelihood, it's just a disgusting environment. It's not a lab. There's no safety measures or precautions taken when you're going through these underground labs. So, who knows what you're getting in your vial? It might not even be the compound you're paying for. It might have some bacteria or some gross shit in it where you could maybe get a limb amputated because the infection gets so bad based on the amount you inject. And if you just try and, you know, maybe remedy it or treat it yourself. So I've had it in my shoulders where my shoulders were just red and inflamed because I'd pin my shoulders sometimes. Yeah. Definitely my quad. It was miserable, man. And that's just my biggest advice for people is if you're going underground lab route, there's definitely a point where you're going to hit an infection and hopefully it's not severe. So just try and steer clear of it if you can.
One thing I always tell guys is some of the best teachers have made the most mistakes because, I mean, I've made a slew of them, you know, and I haven't had the infection, but I'll tell you two embarrassing things. Well, I guess one's not really embarrassing. It's just idiotic. I did like 4 cc's in my quad, which is the most ignorant. I mean, 4 cc's in any area is just ignorant, dude. And you know, I told you I'm a runner, right? So I did it and it was primo. Okay. And you know, it's already a painful infection. And man, my thing swelled up. I mean, it looked like I had a softball in my quad and I tried to run and I'm so stubborn, dude. I was running with I was running with a Charlie horse. It had to look just absolutely insanely bad. And it hurt for like 2 weeks. But the worst thing that I ever did is I did such a large injection in my delt, and it swelled up because of the scar tissue, and it turned into a lipoma. And so I had people telling me for years that I was taking Synthol and everything else. And in reality, it was my own idiocy. I just had the thing finally removed last November. And it was so bad, bro. Like, I went in there and they tried to do it with me awake again. And he started getting in there and it was covered under the muscle. And he started doing it. And my wife was in there and I'm just sitting there talking to her. And all of a sudden I go, hey, you know, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then he's like, what? And I said, that don't feel right, dude, you know, to the surgeon. And he was kind of getting upset because he couldn't get it. He went back in. I said, that's it. That's, stop, stop. So I had to go in and get put under. And it was so bad. It took him like a 20-minute procedure, took over an hour because it was hooked under a muscle because I let it go so long. But things like that can happen upon, like, what you said with the infections and stuff. So, and that was my own fault for being an asshole about how I was pinning. But it just goes to show, like, taking wrong steps and doing things the wrong way, it always backfires. Always. No matter what.
Every time. Every single time.
Dude, I think that we could probably tell stories and things for, I don't know, 24, 48 hours straight, never run out of things to talk about
either. Oh, yeah, no. I don't know if you, did you ever watch the documentary? It was the one that with Dr. Tony Hughes. I don't know if you're familiar with him. It was Enhanced. I actually forgot the name of it, but it was like the second one. I went to Tony's house, basically. Tried to do a week transformation is what it was.
Okay.
And then I wasn't super knowledgeable at the time, so, you know, Tony and these guys had kind of built up in my head because I went into it fasted. We pulled numbers before, but what I didn't realize is obviously depleting yourself and coming in a fasted state of, you know, low glycogen and everything. When you do your DEXA scan, it's going to show, you know, these low numbers. And then after a week of eating as much carbs and everything you can, it's going to, all that water being sucked in is going to register as muscle. So you're going to think you're gaining all this muscle, but it's really just you're doing, you know, timing wrong of the DEXA scan and whatnot. But we're on like 20 IUs of GH a day with just a fuck ton of insulin, eating as much as we possibly could, testosterone, D-ball, all sorts, SARMs were in there, MK677, all sorts of compound, like the crazy shit where it's the worst I've ever felt. And that's where I learned bodybuilding isn't for me, because I know a lot of guys do these crazy protocols to achieve this crazy look and they do it long term. But I would lay down in my bed at his house at night and I could feel my heart actually working, like trying so hard to pump all the fluid. I had pedal edema. And then for people that don't know, that's the swelling where your ankles and your feet just look like they sucked up all the water in your body. I had that going. That was just because the GH levels and everything were so high. Like my hands, my face, if you watch the documentary and see my face, I just have the moon face where it's just bloated beyond all belief. And then, of course, in your head, because you're like seeing the scale go up and the numbers, you're thinking that it's all this quality size. And then you're overlooking how you actually feel, when in reality, I think I look much better now than I did majority of my time using compounds, just because I'm so much more knowledgeable about not only my diet, but my training, what I respond to, just being on TRT, like the stable levels. Yes. And through all those variables, getting them together, I think I have a better look. And I also feel incredible compared to how I used to feel when I was competing and really pushing my body as far as I could.
Yes. And the way you feel is really what it's all about, right? I mean, you can look a certain way, like I was saying earlier, but you generally feel your worst. So, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. That's kind of where I'm at this point. And I like a little bit of peptides here and there too, because you don't really get a lot of side effects. It depending on what you pick. I take that back. Depends on what you pick. I used Melanotan 2 one time. And beyond the fact, and I was living in Maui, mind you. And I got so dark so fast that I was embarrassed to leave my house. Okay. It was really that bad. But you know what, dude, I ran it 3 different times, low doses, ramp your way up, you know, get used to it. And it made me throw up within 5 minutes of injecting, no matter what I did every time, just not for me. But something like Ipamorelin, CJC, things like that tend to not have much of any side effects. It's just annoying that you have to eat around it and dose it so many times. But you can do well with those with minimal sides. But it's, I guess at this point, I just don't care to do shit except my TRT that I kind of stuck myself with and just take good care of myself, you know? So
and the melanotan too. So there's been multiple summers that I ran melanotan. Yeah, one of them. Yeah, it got so dark. And same thing with you. I always felt so nauseous, like while I was doing it. My libido did go up. Yes, like my libido felt good, but just that nauseous stomach feeling was so undesirable. And then the tan was so dark that I'd have people questioning if I was like getting spray tans and whatnot, just because of course I was trying to amplify it as much as possible by getting sun exposure while also doing the melanotan. And then even my facial care, like my facial hair is normally like a reddish color. It turned like straight dark, like dark brown, where even my facial hair color was changing. I was getting like some spots and whatnot that dissipated after I stopped the use, but I was getting like some dark spots and, it's just vanity reasons, I guess, really. That's the main emphasis of bodybuilding is most people, not to say a lot of it couldn't be used for health purposes, of course, like TRT and peptides and being responsible, but majority, most definitely, people in bodybuilding are going to try and do it for the vanity reasons.
100%. And, you know, one of the things one of the last things I want to talk about today, and I'm really hoping we can do another video because this has been awesome. Mismarketing of things is something that's prevalent. Now, I used to be a jerk about this and kind of talking about it, and I try to not do that at all. It's because it's like, if you ask me, I'll be honest with you, but I'm not going to call people out. But the one place that I have a massive, massive, massive issue, and I'm sure you're familiar with them, is Crazy Bull. And it is that marketing that they tell you that you're going to get this, and it's anabolic this and that, and it's just a bunch of herbs and BCAAs and protein powder. If you go read the ingredients, that's all it is. Vitamin A, B, C, fenugreek, and this is supposed to act like a steroid or a SARM. And that pisses me off, and that's one of the things that I just want to point out to people, and then I want you to tell me what you think about this. They have to show the labels, but they don't post it right away, and sometimes you got to zoom in to read everything. Go read the labels, look up everything, because they put some tricky stuff on there that's kind of, if you don't know your herbs like you and I probably do, just go look them up and see what they're all about and what they do. And you ask yourself this: if I went and took all these separate, would I get the same results as Winstrol or Carterine or MK677 or Tren or Deca like they try to put out? I mean, that pisses me off to no end. It does, man. I mean, it just, what do you think? I mean,
the false marketing is definitely one of the biggest hoaxes and I'd say fucked up things in the industry. There was times I would buy, or not buy, but you know, I'd see them on the shelf and whatnot at these supplement stores. But yeah, of course, in big font, they'd put booster testosterone 10 times or 10X and all these crazy like things that are marketing to this young, you know, demographic that don't know. So they're just seeing that and like, oh, like, this must be, you know, some steroid or compound. And then what kills me is that on the back of the label, the ingredients, they'll put like anabolic blend, but then like the most unlegible font where it's so tiny underneath it, it just has all these basic ass, like herbs and whatnot that like maybe good for like overall health and like maybe digestive and all this different stuff, but it's nothing anabolic. Like it's not a pro hormone. It's not a SARM. It's definitely not a DHT derivative. It's not any like steroid or peptide or any of the things you think you're getting. So yeah, just going to a reputable sport. If you're not going through a pharmacy or getting a legit prescription done, then, you know, at least maybe doing the due diligence of knowing how it's made, what chemical structure, actually looking at the ingredient label. Because I know the only supplement I would say is really worthwhile that's for the natural people out there that's readily available, probably like creatine monohydrate. It's been around forever, has so many studies and has been proven to work. Pre-workout, maybe if you need like extra energy or something. Of course, you're not going to get the pre-workouts, unfortunately, like we used to get back in the day. DM. You missed your time on that. But, and then, you know, maybe protein or something if you're missing meals and you don't have an appetite, but you're trying to get some calories down, maybe. But I think there's also like, I see all these influencers and it always kills me, the fake natty ones, the ones that are obviously on anabolics, pushing all these standard, you know, testosterone boosting supplements and this fat burner and this supplement. And ever since the beginning of time, since my career, I've always told every brand that I've ever worked with, if I don't believe in it, like I'm going to speak my truth on it. Even if the flavor profiles, if it tastes like complete and utter garbage and shit, I'm going to tell my fans, like, hey, I like this supplement, but just be aware it tastes like shit. So you're probably not going to actually enjoy it. So the false marketing and whatnot has just gotten so out of hand where, yeah, people just need to be aware of, yeah, what's actually going on, what they're getting. And yeah, once again, just the due diligence of actually the research.
That's true. And I've worked for companies and I've had to go back on things I've said, because one of the things that, like, you and I, especially when you're an influencer, credibility is everything to us. And I've had people do bait and switches on me, give me bad information, have me promote stuff that I regretted later. And I'll always come out and admit, always, I got no issue. So if anybody says something to me now about something I promoted 7, 8, 9 years ago, I'm like, yeah. And I've talked about it, you know, like, what's your point? It happens. That's life. It's just like, Apple comes out with a bad product once in a while. Well, I mean, it happens, you know, and people market and it is what it is. The important thing is that you point it out, and there are testosterone boosters that work to a point, but if you think they're going to bump you 400 and 500 points, you're insane. That's not happening. They can give you some energy boost and help you in a whatever you want to look at. But like you said, creatine is probably the one, and you get that in a pre-workout, you know, oftentimes. And I guess betaine's not bad. It's not going to do something crazy for you, but it works. I think the most important thing for me when I'm looking at like supplements and herbs is for like heart health, you know, added fiber, probiotics. Those things are important, you know, for your health. But if you think they're going to do something anabolic or just mixing 10 of them together is going to do that, well, shit, I do that every day and it's not doing much of anything for me in that. You know what I mean? It's like, come on.
I've had the best results of my life with this new multivitamin I've been trying.
Right? That multivitamin and dandelion root I'm taking is really working wonders, man.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people need to realize the word supplement is called supplement for, it's like a supplement to an already existing diet. So maybe if you're deficient in some form of vitamins or something where whatever you're eating in your diet is making it where you're not getting that, then yeah, it's maybe supplement in something. Of course, creatine. Yeah. Once again, like I said, I mean, that's one of my staples, one that I definitely believe in. But yeah, majority of them, of course, I mean, just like any business that's out there, makeup, bodybuilding, clothing, everyone's trying to make their profit. So if they see there's a potential revenue with boosting this one thing to be melting all your fat, like clenbuterol or like carterine or like all these compounds, it's just because they're trying to make a quick bag. That's really what boils down to.
It's just like this. No company exists. Like, I see people make posts. It's just for the money. Point me out a business that you work for that doesn't do it to make money. But everybody can win. It doesn't have to be I make money, you get screwed. That's the difference. There's no such thing as a company that doesn't make money. Even a nonprofit has to make money or they can't provide you a service. They might not be in it for profit, but everybody makes money. I guess it's how they do it and how they go about it that makes all the difference. But people that come on here and make those comments, which I'm sure you've gotten, it's insane. Nobody works for free or nobody would have a home and nobody would eat. So people also need to understand there's good business and there's bad business. Just read about what's in your stuff before you take it and understand what you're taking before you use it. I mean, and when you're buying proprietary blends, understand that you don't know exactly the amount you're getting. What's listed is in there. You just don't know how much of what you're getting. And that's it. It could be a fraction of a percent that's in there. So just understand your labels and anything. That goes for nutrition too. And just be careful. And that's it. Ask questions. That's why guys like us are on here, you know, to try to point you. And we make videos about all of this. So, I mean, that's pretty much what it is on that.
And take both of our word as gospel, because neither of us are ever wrong. We've never been wrong in our entire life, and we've never made any mistakes. So,
don't you know those people that act like that though, and they're everywhere, man. Jeez, the people I trust are the people that do take accountability. And one thing I learned, especially when I got married, is your ass better be ready to admit when you're wrong, right? I mean, that's just, it's part of life. I got no issue with it. I haven't in a long time. It's gotten me a lot further in life taking accountability. So, I don't know. Everybody's different, but. A lot more respectable, dude.
For sure. And I think it just comes, of course, with the maturity level.
Yeah. Question before we go. Are you going to the Olympian Orlando this year? I think it's in, what, November?
Yeah, it sucks. So, of course, I moved to Vegas mainly because, like, majority of the content, Olympia and everything's in Vegas or used to be.
Right.
And then I've assumed they probably got some better deal financially to host it in Florida, wherever they're doing it. So, but yeah, I'll be there.
Awesome. I'm going
to
be
there. So, basically,
yeah,
I moved to Vegas for no reason. So, maybe I'll have to relocate now to Florida.
Oh, there's a lot of good stuff there for you. But that, yeah, I'm going to be there too. So,
okay.
We'll be talking before that for sure. But
yeah.
Guys. Go check out Kenny everywhere, his YouTube, his Instagram. He's all over. He's got some of the best videos out there. They're better than mine, and I would definitely check them out. Kenny, I want to just – I'm sure my audience love this and love you. Hopefully, I can get you again. I know you're busy, but I just really appreciate you taking the time here today with me. It was fucking awesome talking to you. This was more fun for me than anything else.
Hey, my man.
But no,
I appreciate you actually having me on, man. And like I said, guys, from the beginning, I do thank you, honestly, from the bottom of my heart. You're one of the people that got me to start talking about a lot of the stuff I did and kind of jump-started the trends, like really just the fundamentals of my channel. And you taught me so much throughout, you know, my journey. So it's a pleasure to actually get to finally talk with you one-on-one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hope you guys continue to support this man. He's one of the pioneers of everything you guys are learning nowadays. All the wrong things. Just remember, it's all Dylan's fault.
That's right.
If you ever get an infection or you take a dosage that's wrong or you get some fake compound, it's Dylan's fault. So exactly. just remember that. But
I've already gotten that many years, dude. So just add it to the list.
No, I thoroughly appreciate you, man. And we'll meet up in Olympia. Definitely talk before then, and we'll do some more content for everyone. So you know, awesome. You guys that are watching, if you have any questions or maybe some topics maybe we didn't cover or something, we could do maybe a part two or something, throw it together and cover more for you guys.
Absolutely, brother. Like I said, absolute pleasure to have you on. Guys, make sure you check Kenny out, please. Kenny KO, easy to find. You'll love his content. And so, everybody, appreciate you. You'll be getting plenty more of these, and stay tuned for plenty more to come. Dylan Jamelli signing off. Go check out Kenny everywhere, his YouTube, his Instagram. He's all over. He's got some of the best videos out there. They're better than mine, and I would definitely check them out.
And take both of our word as gospel, because neither of us are ever wrong. We've never been wrong in our entire life, and we've never made any mistakes. So, I mean, there's definitely going to be more to come, and yeah, more wild times.